morning, good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 23rd August 2022, Tuesday class. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Dijang Pusa. Namo Dijang Wang Pusa. Namo Dijang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavanta Abhivademi. Sogato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Nati mata wiramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana wiramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara wiramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada wiramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majapamadata miramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, you all can be seated. And turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We shall continue with the Padipa Puja chanting, the offerings. Padipa Puja, offerings of light. Ganda sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena penahang sukang hina pujaye pujani yang tang puja bajana mutamang. Naganda guno petan etang kusuma santatin puja yami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe puje mi betang kesumena nena punena matena cha hotu mokang pupang melayati yata idang me kayo tata yati minasa bawang adivase tunovante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motamang adivase tunovante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motamang adivase tunovante bhojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motamang. Okay, now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. The significance of offering of likes. May this offering of likes to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dhanaparami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nirvana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of powers. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect, Tripaja. Buddhang puje. Dhammang puje. Sanghang puje. Okay, you can be seated.
On the pen.
Okay, just relax body and mind, maintain awareness, then we shall off the light so that you all can have half an hour of awareness based meditation. Eh? Okay. Just remember, we are developing this awareness based meditation. Eh? So to be aware is to be completely silent without thought. That's why the four support to develop awareness-based meditation is very important. First is to relax completely body and mind. When you are completely relaxed, without problem, without stress, you are at ease. That's why your body and mind completely at ease. It will settle down. Then what you need to do is just maintain awareness. Because when you are aware, there is no thinking. Then don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Whatever arises, the moment you are aware, finish, cease it. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Because we have a physical body. The physical senses are within our body. Then we have a consciousness trapped inside. Then we have the life force that provides us with the karmic force or life force to allow us to sustain our heartbeat, to function as a human being. So when these three conditions are in place, you will experience the arising of consciousness. So whatever that arises within the form and mind, you can be conscious of it. But the moment you become conscious of it, you go and perceive it and think, it creates activity like the thinking process or thought activity. So in awareness-based meditation, we are supposed to reverse all this. We are supposed to just maintain awareness. Means develop sati, which is awareness before the knowing, before the aggregates of mind arise. So every time you silent, relax, maintain awareness, whatever you become aware of, you just finish it all. Means no more thinking, no more thought proliferation, nothing. Just aware, finish. Like whatever tactile sensation, aware, finish. Then whatever thought that arise, it can be a perception or a sensation or whatever, just finish. Then through other senses, hearing can be a vibration. Away, finish. Smell also same. Taste also same. Tactile also same. Memory also same. So when your brain recall something, thought activity or what, just away, finish. Away, finish. So if you continue to relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness nature within, your awareness will start to develop. Then when it starts to develop, it will be established. Then what you need to do is, the third support is stabilize it. Maintain the awareness within for as long as you can. Technically, it's more or less 24 hours. So relax, aware, maintain awareness. That's what you need to do. Don't try to know. Don't try to do. Because the knowing is a thought. The doing is also by the thought. So if you try to know and do, you actually trigger off the thinking. You allow that thought process to continue. That's why in doing so, the thought will continue. It will not cease. It will not stop. So awareness-based meditation is to understand all this and just relax, maintain awareness. Then allow it to cease. After a while, when you are skillful, then you will understand a lot of things. The awareness nature needs time to be developed. And when after you have developed it, stabilized it, then only you can understand what that nature is. You will finally come to know The awareness nature is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. It's without words, without aggregates of mind. It is the unconditioned. You cannot even talk about it or describe it. The moment you use word to describe it or talk about it, then it's no longer that thing. Yeah, that thing is just that nature which is aware. Yeah. If I then you start to realize that and stabilize that, then you will come to know you have another nature within, which is just this awareness nature. And this awareness nature is the unconditioned. It's actually your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind. This is the mind that can understand what is going on, that can observe silently, that can awaken an insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta clearly. And whatever that arises, you will understand, because through that silent awareness, it is observing. Then how you become conditioned into negativity or emotion, you also come to know. Then how the senses arise upon contact with the sense data and the consciousness. Then how upon arising of the consciousness, respective consciousness, how the brain activities start. How through your memory, your accumulated views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system develops the habitual tendency to do things, and how they cause your mind to react to sense experience in those conditioned ways. So through all this observation, you will come to realize a very profound truth that everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. There is no being inside there. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity that exists and do all these things. No. Everything is dependent, originating. The thought. How do they arise? They arise because of memory, accumulated memory. So thought is respond to all these accumulated memories. You will see them very clearly. Without memory, like the baby, newborn, there is no thought. Because it is naive, it doesn't know anything, no idea of anything that has been taught by the education system or the living beings. But as they continue to receive all this conditioning from society, from their parents, from people who look after them or teach them or train them, they start to develop all this knowledge of things. Then they accumulate as memories. So the memory starts to build up. Then through all this process of accumulation, the memory become more and more sophisticated until you are so conditioned. Where all of your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, your phobia, your fear, your insecurity, your happy moments and your unhappy moments, whatever you experience, good and bad, all get accumulated. Then you have your preference, your like and dislike and honest thing. So all this starts to manifest because of the accumulated memory. Then you come to realize you are just a bundle of memories that created the entity, the egoic mind's entity. Then you are so conditioned when you are born, you are given a name. You have a birth certificate, then later they give you the identification card, I see. Then your passport, everything. So they identify you by name. Then after that, you go to school. They identify you by consent. You are a child, you are a boy, you are a girl, you are a student. Then later, as you grow up, maybe you develop certain profession or career or entity. Then they will call you. Maybe you are an accountant, you are an engineer, you are a lawyer, or you are a professional manager, managing director, CEO, or whatever. So all this identification keep on arising. Then later they also give you title, Mr. Dato. Country, engineer, or whatever. Other country, other tradition, other culture, they give you different title. So all these are the society's way of identifying. Then the entity that you have been identifying become the ego. You believe that is what you are. You form an image of who you are with all the title. That's why when people abuse that title or say negative and bad thing about your entity or what they identify you with, then you develop unhappiness, anger, hatred, jealousy. That's how all this negativity of mind state arise. Your ego is hit through all this process of identification. So meditation is to develop awareness of all this, of what is going on. Then from all this awareness-based meditative mind, you come to understand how you become what you are, how all this conditioning make you what you are. Then when you start to clearly develop the clear understanding of all this, you start to insight into certain phenomena. And most of these phenomena that you insight into, you realize their characteristics. They exhibit that three universal characteristics all the time. First is dependent on condition, it arises. Dependent on condition, it sustains itself. Then dependent on the cessation of the condition, it ceases to be. So the coming and the going is a dependent originating type of phenomenon. And because it's dependent originating, it's constantly in a state of flux. That's why it's impermanent. When condition changes, phenomena changes, it evolves. So that universal characteristics of change or impermanence is very clear. And when you realize that all this follow nature's law, it is not a permanent unchanging entity that remain all the time the same. Then you come to an understanding. You want things your way, which is not nature's way. Suffering will arise. You become afflicted. You become unhappy. Because you cannot get what you want. So all this universal characteristics of suffering, dukkha, surface. And because of impermanence, change, you will come to realize the entity, the form and mind, is not a permanent unchanging entity that you thought it was. That's why it's a delusion to cling onto it, hold onto it, grasp onto it, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. This is what the Buddha want you to realize, Sakkarediti, self-delusion. And basically, we identify with five things within the form and mind. The Buddha called it the five aggregates of form and mind. Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnanam. That's why we call so that. The final summary of the first number two, the Buddha said it very clearly. In short, he said, it is due to one's sacrality or self-delusion, the condition and the grasp and cling on to this five aggregate of form and mind, thereby conditioning suffering or dukkha. So the aggregates of grasping, the upadana khandhas, are dukkha. So when you understand all this, you start to develop the right view to awaken, not to be deluded. Then you become different. Then when you continue to observe and understand the essential Dhamma or stand out to investigation, then you start to understand clearly who are you, what are you, what is this five aggregates of form and mind all about. So through this process of meditative awakening, or what we call awareness-based meditation, we develop insight or awakening. We realize the truth. We awaken to the universal characteristics of nature. Then we are no longer deluded and deceived. That's how we awaken. Then we will not be gullible anymore. The phenomenal world of consciousness and form will have no power over us. Then you realize the whole mundane consciousness become clear. And you can also slowly observe and understand how they arise and how you can silence your mind to let all this return to your true mind. This is the pure awareness before the thinking, before the knowing, before the arising of the mundane mind. That's why the whole process of the phenomenal world, you realize it arises from a consciousness. So before consciousness, it was just a thought, the mundane thinking, inside the mundane mind, triggering of the phenomenal world of consciousness. And when you return this through the meditative awareness understanding, you realize the mundane thinking, the sankhara activity, the consciousness, it can cease. Then they will return to the pure awareness before the arising of thought, before the arising of the mundane mind, the thinking mind. Then you continue to meditate, silence everything, and develop deeper wisdom, more stable wisdom. And one day you will completely awaken, then you will cease. During that time, the pure awareness also ceases. That's how you return to your true nature within, the oneness nature, or what they term your experience, or you realize Nibbana, the unconditioned. When the mundane mind realizes itself and ceases, it will go through that transformation. Then it will go into cessation. That's why Nibbana is unconditioned, the cessation of form and mind, even the pure awareness also cease. That's how the whole process can happen. And through this awareness-based meditation, you can come to realize all this and awaken. Okay, now I let you meditate on your own. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then turn the basics of the chanting book. We shall invoke the devas, invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the empathy, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantācakavalisu Atragacantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhammasavanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasavanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasavanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atas Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo atas Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo atas Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Iti beso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho. Jajarana sampanno sukato ido anuttaro purisadamma sarti sattadeva manusanam buddho bhagavati suakato bhagavata dhammo Sandittikho akkhalikho ebbubbasekho oppanayiko paccatang veditthammo vinohiti. Dhammo bhagavato savakkhasangho Ujjubhatipanno Bhagavato Sakkhasangho Nyayappadipanno Bhagavato Sakkhasangho Samijjhipadipanno Bhagavato Sakkhasangho Esa Bhagavato Sakkhasangho Ahuneya. Akkhileyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyankhetang Lokasanati. Sadhu. Okay, we can visit that. And we shall continue from where we started. We are at page 340 of this, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. And avoid laxness, for you must not be lazy. We are somewhere there. Make samaneras, bhikkhus of the Sangha, bhikkhunis of the Sangha, do not be lax, do not be lazy, do not leave home and fail to cultivate. So this message by Srinivasa is very important. If we already have understanding of the importance of this Buddha Dhamma, then we should commit ourselves to seriously cultivate. That's why he said, when you decide to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, or for those who wants to become the Sangha members, is renounce the world, leave the home life to become a full-time Dhamma practitioner, following the Sangha way. So you have decided to go that way, then you must not fail to cultivate, because to renounce and not to cultivate is that you have never really renounced. Yeah. That's why you must apply faith, sadhā, virya, then diligently cultivate. So to leave home and not to cultivate is to neglect the Dhamma. It is then just as if you had never left home. The ancients said, all day long, you can count other people's wealth. When you haven't got even accumulated half a cent of yourself, if the Dhamma you fail to cultivate, you are making the exact same mistake. It's just like the bank officer or the bank teller machine that handle other people's cash all day long, counting it up. 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, 20, 30, 50, 100,000, 200,000, 1 million, 10 million, 100 million, etc. So much money. But none of it belongs to them. They just count it up for other people. So this one is similar to that statement that one of my class, and not classmate, one of my good friends, he's an accountant. He said, we deal with money, we cultivate, oh sorry, we count a lot of money. We write check, very big check. Then we issue paycheck, we issue payments to creditors and all those things. But none of all those are ours. That's why he said the biggest check he has signed was with the board of directors, where he is a CFO, chief financial officer. So he also had to sign one of the signatories. They took over a privatization entity. That time, 201 million ringgit was a very big amount. First time he said he signed a check, one check, which amounts more than 200 million. So he said that was a big deal for him. But none of it is easy. So when you are in the what they call career field, or when you are doing your career activity, you will come across a lot of such professionals who do the same thing. Like even for me as a civil engineer, I also used to handle a lot of what they call civil engineering projects. They are all covered under civil engineering. It can be buildings, it can be infrastructure, it can also be highway, airport, and all those things. So in the process, we also certify payments, because we have to certify payments, so the money payments. So all these payments varies in amount. Sometimes it can be pretty big, but I never sign the check. I only issue the payment, certify the payment. Then after that, the client will issue the payment. So all this also involve a lot of monetary transaction. Then the bank, every day, all the banking transaction, the what they call SWIFT system that most people use for transferring money, inter bank and also inter country, sometimes intercontinental. So through the SWIFT system, you can also transfer. Then the money changer, they are also involved. So a lot of this, the money flow, the economy every day, a lot of money flow. Even the stock exchange, money market, They have a lot of, on a working day, they have a lot of this monetary transaction. Even our Bursa Malaysia, or Kuala Lumpur Stock Exchange, every day on the average is at least 1 or 2 billion of transactions per day. And all this, they have a buyer and a seller. So technically, the transaction is every trade, there is a buyer and a seller. So the transaction is very big. And on a very heavily traded day, during the boom time, I remember the transactions of night hit 8 to 10 billion a day. And that amount is very big. So coming back to the Dhamma, we go back to the notes. So here, what Master Shen Hua is trying to say is, when you are cultivating the Buddha Dharma, when you do not really put in the effort or diligent faith to seriously cultivate, you are not accumulating wisdom and virtue. It's like you are counting people's money or witnessing people's money flow, but you yourself are not involved in the cultivation, in the accumulation of this so-called wealth or accumulation of Dhamma wisdom and virtue. So bear that in mind. Then I will read on. If you do not cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, oh, we have finished this one. It's just like counting other people's money. Those who have left the home must cultivate the way. If you do not cultivate and insist upon being lazy, then do not renounce or leave home. Now we are vigorous in the day and night. In the morning, people recite sutta, and at night, they recite sutra, such as the Vajra or Diamond Sutra. This is a very good idea because you should cultivate and you should not be lazy. You should think over the teaching, the doctrine presented here in the sutra. You should single-heartedly advance with vigor and avoid being lazy or laxness. For laziness or laxness just means being lazy and not cultivating. So all this that is mentioned, reciting sutta, is the Mahayana ways of developing the mindfulness, the spiritual faculties, and understanding the sutra. It is part of their daily religious routine. That's why you go to a Maya temple, a typical one. They will have a lot of this daily chanting. They have morning chanting, evening chanting. Then they have this sutra chanting. Then they have this, what they call mindfulness training. All of their chanting, all of their whatever activity they do, the emphasis is on developing the spiritual faculties and cultivating mindfulness at all times. Even the Sompo temple we went to, we have participated in a lot of their morning chanting, afternoon chanting, and sometimes evening chanting. Then at our retreat, we also have our daily religious routine or training or activity or our program schedule. Then when you are at home, after you leave the retreat center, you have to maintain your mindfulness training, your Dhamma cultivation. And to do that, you need a good, reliable, daily religious routine. That routine is something that you do every day. Constantly cultivating, studying the Buddha Dharma, reflection, contemplation. and your daily puja activity. Develop the wholesome mind to rejoice, to radiate loving kindness, metta, to have the good mind state, to continuously develop mindfulness, to insight into the normal, to awaken, to observe the silent observation of the truth of the reality within the moment. This is what we can do throughout the day, maintain this religious routine. Even while working as a career person or as a housewife, or while having your holiday, travel, everything you do, you have to develop a daily religious routine so that you are constantly aware, ever mindful, constantly meditating, leading to heedfulness. Heedfulness is very important. The moment you are heedful, you never die. You are destined for enlightenment. That's why heedfulness is most important. So train your mind, develop the stability of mindfulness until you become ever mindful. Then use it to constantly cultivate the noble form of meditation as done by the Buddha. Then listen to sutta, read the sutta, develop understanding, contemplate, reflect, inquire, develop the first turning, second turning, and third turning wisdom. So all these are part and parcel of cultivation. And remember the three phases of Dhamma, Pariyatti, Patipatti, then Patipitta. Then all the other essential Dhamma go through, then cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. This is a big section to cultivate. While you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, you also cultivate mindfulness, the four foundation of mindfulness. Then follow the 10 steps in the Abhijja Sutta. If you do all this, you will have great blessings. You will progress very well. And then that religious routine include your bodhisattva vows. And if you are able to commit yourself diligently, walk the path, persevere to realize the truth, you will definitely progress and you will do well. Okay, I will continue. Then we go to the sutta part. Buddhas are difficult indeed to meet. This one you must listen. It describes to us how rare is it to come across a Sammasambuddha. We may have been born in the sasana during the Buddha sasana, but we have not really met Sakyamuni Buddha unless some of us has been born during the time when he was alive in India, 2,000 years ago. So not easy to meet up with a Sammasambuddha. So we will read on that, then you develop the understanding. The Buddhas, all of them are extremely rare to encounter or difficult to encounter. Then the sutta say encounter but once only in a million eons. See, they use the word a million eons. So it is say a million eons, but it may be several thousand, tens of thousands, millions of eons before you meet with the Buddha appearing in the world. That's why the opening statement of most Mahayana sutra, which we have gone through, the Master Shen was mentioned. He put inside there, this type of true Dhamma is very difficult to combine. He used There were 500 million eons. You may also not encounter one Samasa Buddha. Just imagine, how rare is it? Because certain world system, according to Sakyamuni Buddha, when people ask him, normally how many Samasa Buddha arise within a world cycle or world system? He says sometimes there is none, zero. Sometimes there is only one, sometimes two, sometimes three. And our Jambuwapi, we are very lucky, he's supposed to have four. That's why the next one is Maitreya. Sakyamuni Buddha is the third. The next one is supposed to be Maitreya. So we're supposed to have four Samasa Buddha. Then we continue with the sutra. All of the disciples of the world honored one, hearing of the Buddha's entry to Nirvana, into Nirvana, each harbor grief and anguish. I think this one is not so correct, huh? Because most of the disciples are enlightened beings. So he used each harbor grief and anguish. I don't think so. Huh? Why must the Buddha take extinction so soon? The sage Dilon, the Dhamma king, then comforted the limitless multitude. After my passing into Parinibbana, or extinction, none of you should worry or fear. For the Bodhisattva, virtue, treasury, with respect to the non-outflow mark of reality, in heart has penetrated it totally. He will next become a Buddha by the name of pure body, and will also save the countless, limitless multitudes. So this is a sutra part. Eh? Then we go on to the commentaries. So there is a description under that commentary. There is a subheading, similarities of giving predictions. Eh? All of the Buddha of the world honored one, the eight sons of the Buddha, brightness of sun, moon, lamp, hearing the Buddha's entry into Parinibbana or Nirvana. When they heard that the Buddha was about to enter Nirvana, each harbored grief and anxious. That word grief, I think, and anxious are not the appropriate word. There may be some who are only saints, means Sotapanna, Sakadagami, or Anagami. These three, sometimes they may also got tears, have some form of like grief, but not the heavy one. Then they also, there will not be any angry, they are like miss the Buddha, the teacher, and others. Then I read on the commentary. Is it basically they all have a great deal of samadhi power, but blood is thicker than water because they have the relationship of father and son, master and disciple with the Buddha. They were struck with grief and anxious, or anguish. I mispronounced anguish. Each one of them weep is hit people. No, there's one hit people. Ah, the one weep. WEEP one, you say weep. That one also weep. This one is web. They felt anguish. And this means that they grew afflicted. The fact that they did so inwardly is indicated by the word harbor. They did not let their grief show. They kept it within. their heart. The tears fell inside their hearts. They most certainly don't let it show. Why not? Because the word harbor proves that they carry it inside. This is Shenhua's version of describing it. But actually what happened is totally different. You see, you can have that emotion, or what they call very different type of positive emotion, which you understand one. That's why tears can flow. It's like you are grieving, but you are not grieving one. Because the enlightened being can still have those moments of what they call, like when I read certain part of the sutta during the ancient Buddha's time or what, then I can understand the meaning and the condition at that time. Then this nature deep inside, it will like manifest that type of the emotion, which is very different, very positive, but is full of gratitude, understanding. And sometimes the tears flow. It's not the normal type of tears, it's not crying type, it's just from deep inside, it come out. Then that gratitude, that understanding, that joy, it manifests. So maybe it's the way Xianhua put it, based on his understanding. But as far as my nature understands, it's not like that. Okay, I read on. Although their heart were filled with sorrow, it didn't show. This is Xianhua's way of describing. It wasn't like people now who cry so that the tears fall and they are nose running. Their tears fall and their nose running, but it is of no use whatsoever. That is why the eight royal sons harbor grief and anguish and thought, why must the Buddha take extinction so soon? Why must he enter Nirvana so quickly? Who are we going to cultivate under now? We assume that our mother, the Buddha, will stay in the world forever and at times. We assume, at times we were lazy and snuck off to take it easy. We didn't cultivate vigorously, and now, as they say, what a mess. It may be a mess, but there's nothing we can do about it now. They knew that their past actions were wrong. And the sutta say, the Seshri Lord, the Dhamma King, meaning the Buddha is called the Seshri Lord, and also called the Dhamma King, then comforted the limitless multitude, is all those who were present there. When the Buddha's brightness of sun moon lamp saw his son weeping within their hearts and saw that some of the other people were crying outwardly, painfully weeping bitter tears, his compassionate heart couldn't bear it. And so he comforted everybody by saying, don't cry, everyone. Don't grieve and don't mourn. Don't be so upset. So this one is maybe the way they translate it. I don't think Master Shenhua meant that. Although I'm going to enter Nirvana, the Buddha said, after my passage into extinction in the future, none of you should worry or fear. Meaning, don't worry, don't fret, or be afraid. Why? For the Bodhisattva virtue, treasuring with respect to the non-outflow mark of reality, with respect to the Dhamma door, the non-outflow real mark, his heart has penetrated it totally, meaning his heart had penetrated to the absence or outflow and understood the Dhammada or the Rayama, like the Sammasambuddha. What is meant by no outflow? It just means not flowing out. It means having no form. Get rid of all the bad habits, your form, your greed, your hatred, your stupidity, your pride and ego, and doubt. And break through ignorance. Root out ignorance. Once you have root out ignorance, there will be no more outflow. If you haven't broken or root out ignorance, then you still have outflow. How does one break through ignorance? By studying the Buddha Dharma. If you study the Buddha Dharma until you understand it, then you will have no more ignorance. Why do you still have ignorance? It is just because you don't understand the Buddha Dharma. When something happens, you lose your temper and you get afflicted. When the state arises, you can't take it. Why can't you take it? Because you don't understand the Buddha Dharma. If you understood the Buddha Dharma, ignorance would be broken and the Dhamma nature would manifest. You would be far removed from all affliction. There would be nothing good and nothing bad, no success and no failure, means no more duality. This is the wind and light of your nature's native ground, your own family's treasure. When you have obtained it, you will have no more ignorance. If you have no ignorance, you will have no outflow. If you have no outflow, you obtain the real mark. You haven't obtained no outflow, then you haven't got the real mark. You don't understand the real mark. The Bodhisattva virtue of treasury, however, has in her penetrated the non-outflow real mark. Don't think you are so outstanding. Take a look at the Bodhisattva virtue of treasury. He has already completely understood the non-outflow reality mark. He will next become a Sammasambuddha. After I pass into extinction and enter Nirvana, he will become the Buddha by the name of Pure Body. His name will be Pure Body, thus come one, and will also save the limitless, uncountable multitudes. He will also cross over and release an unlimited number of living beings. Okay, the next section of the sutta. That night, the Buddha passed into parinibbana, or into extinction. As a flame dies, once its fuel has been consumed, the sharira were divided up, means the relics, and limitless stupa builds. The bhikkhus and bhikkhunis, their numbers like Ganges sand, redouble their vigor in advancing in their quest for the unsurpassed Buddha Dharma path. Okay, and commentaries. Before that, there is a description. Similarity of propagation of the sutta after the Buddha's extinction of Parinibbana. Then offering an increasing vigor. Commentaries. That night, the Buddha passed into extinction, meaning the Buddha, brightness of sun, moon, lamp on that day at midnight, entered Nirvana. As a flame dies, once its fuel has been consumed. What is the fuel? What is the flame? The fuel is a small vehicle. It's said to be the body. The dying of the flame is the attainment of Nirvana. Residue. In the great vehicle, it is said that the living beings are the fuel, the firewood. The dying of the flame means that when the firewood is gone, there is no more fire. The living beings are the firewoods. And what is the flame? The Buddha observed the potential of living beings in order to dispense the teaching according to their deeds or karmic background. He looks at the potential of the beings in order to bestow the Buddha Dharma and teach and transform them. This is called observing the potential, dispensing the teaching, speaking the Dharma according to personality. The Buddha speaks of the Dhamma Dao, which is necessary to use to teach a particular individual. If someone should be taught by means of the Dhamma Dao, the three storehouse, the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha teaches that Dhamma Dao. If someone should be saved by means of the Vaipuya Dhamma Dao, he uses that one. If someone should be saved by the means, by means of the Dhamma Dao of Prajna, the Buddha speaks the Prajna teaching. If someone should be saved by the Dhamma flower and Nibbana teaching, he gives them those teachings. This is to observe the potential and dispense the teaching. Taking a look at a person's personality or potential affinities and speak the Dhamma accordingly. So this is what the Sammasambuddha is capable of. Here the potential are no longer present. Those living beings which were to be crossed over have all been crossed over. The flame has died and the method is no longer in use. As a flame dies, once its fuel has been consumed, sorry, we have to mute one of them. I think Chipolian side, we got some sound coming in. Oh, not Polian, sorry. Oh, Yun Chan side, sorry. It's okay. Okay, I continue. As the flame dies once its fuel has been consumed, S means that this is an analogy. Don't think it is really taking is don't think it is really talking about a fire going out when the fuel is all used up. Then the next part is the sharirira or relics were divided up. After the Buddha had passed into extinction or parinibbana, all the Buddha's relics were divided up and limitless stupa were built, means limitless high and manifest pagoda or stupa were raised. The bhikkhu and bhikkhuni, the bhikkhu sangha, the bhikkhunis and the bhikkhunis. Bhikkhu has three meaning: the medical, frightener of mara, and destroyer of evil. The bhikkhuni also have the same three meanings. What is meant by medical? Medicans. Bhikkhu goes out. Here he used the word begging bowl, begging round, carrying their alms bowl. Actually, it's going out for alms round. Alms round is they allow people to have the condition to make offering to the practitioner or the Dhamma, means the Sangha members. What is meant by frightener mara? When bhikkhu ascend the platform to receive the bhikkhu's precept, they face the three master and seven certifier, 10 bhikkhu in all, who represent the Buddhas of the 10 directions in transforming the precepts. At that time they transmit the precept, they ask, are you a great hero? The new preceptee say, I'm a great hero. Then they ask, have you brought forth the Bodhiman or Bodhihan? I have brought forth the Bodhiman or Bodhihan. The moment they say they have brought forth the Bodhiman, the heavenly demons of the six desire heaven got the news flash and they shudder with fright. Their hair stand on end and they look at one another God, what are we going to do? This is terrible. We have lost a demon for them. The Buddha again, Buddha for them. If this keep up, what's it all going to end? They are afraid. And so Bhikkhu means frightener of mother. Bhikkhu also means destroyer of evil. How do they destroy evil? People are all unaware of the evil within themselves, and they don't know that they should destroy it or root it out. To break through evil means to have no affliction. When there are no affliction, then genuine wisdom can come forth. So here in America, I have issued a very unfair law specifically to counter right, affliction and ignorance. So this is Master Shenhua. Since this extremely unjust law has gone into effect, I have questioned my disciple a number of times, and they said that they have no affliction and no temple. Why not? I asked. And they say, I don't know. The law may be unfair, but it's extremely wonderful. It's wonderful because it's unfair. If it were fair, it would be wonderful. It would be wonderful. So the same three meaning also apply to the word bhikkhuni. Okay, I think we can end here. There are numbers like the Ganges said. Okay, 9:48, we can end here. I will mark this page. We are at page 346. I have marked the page. Okay, so now we will open up for meditation reporting, which is the second session. And at the same time, you can also ask whatever question you may have.
Hello, Prachi. Good evening, Prachi.
Good evening, yeah.
Mrs. Stu, are you all karamitas? Actually, 我想 share 我的两个礼拜前的一个 meditation experience.
Oh, very good.
还记得 Brother Joe 讲开 physical class 的时候，
对对对。
I was full of joy. 因为我已经很渴望的去上 physical class.
哦，是的，很好。
然后，记得我带 Kenny 来 Brother Joe 的 class 的时候。
Yeah,
我可以感觉到 Bradu 的 house full of energy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But 我不知道那个是什么用处。然后我跟 PG 两个第一个 class 的时候，我们感觉到哇，很不一样。
Yeah, yeah.
就是那个，就是你很容易的 settle down 你的 mind 和好。然后就一直一直的走着来，然后我就就上两个礼拜在那边 meditate 的时候， after 我在 lying down meditate， I was like 很爱睡这样， you know，
very good，
so Brad Joe， so 当 Brad Joe 想敲那个铃的时候，叮，我就坐起来，可是我还好像还是在睡着这样，
对
，you know 那个 stillness 啊，我好像出不来，
对，
那我就继续坐，然后我继续的坐下去，我发觉到我的 breathing 就是很 subtle， 好像没有 breathing，
对，
但我再接下去我的 observation 是。没有 thought for so long，
yeah, 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 yeah,
好像
yeah, yeah,
就是从8:45到9:00那段时间，好像
没有念头在里面。
And then after that， 我就当我要 perceive Bradio 的的 talk 的时候，我可以听到 Bradio 的念的每一个字，
对对对，
一个字一个字一个字一个字都是很清楚的，
对对对，
然后过后 Brad 就跟秦浩 explain about 那个 mind， 好像一个 free mind 这样，我的 experience 不就是那个状况，就是他用一个 object 了，他就是。
对对对。spacious awareness，
and then
it's just that nature inside that。
里面很多的。法喜
对，沙丢沙丢，
不懂得讲 explain， but 就是
very good， 沙丢，
就是这个就是我所经历的 experience。然后过后我回家在 meditate 的时候， 我就很容易进入这个状况。
进入这个状况，
就是、哇 ，I was like 啊，这么 amazing，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
真的可以，
对对对对，
做得到，
对对做得到，
就是没有到。
Yeah.
然后刚才我在 meditate 的时候，我发觉到。所有人的 movement 哦，我的 perceive 进来的是在我的心，
awareness, 对
在我的心里面，不是通过我的耳朵
yeah, 对对，不是那个脑袋，脑袋，
全部是直接 direct 在我的 heart。
对对对对
所以我想借着这个机会跟凯拉米达分享的是，这个 physical class 非常非常的
beneficial
to everyone， 所以也希望大家来上这个 physical class。
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
去 develop 这个 understanding、感恩 Radio 感恩阿弥陀佛
Let us rejoice 沙丢沙丢沙丢 This is very good because that nature actually when you go in you have the condition to go in it become very different than like he described he like doesn't want to come out just let it beYeah, that nature know what it's supposed to do. That's why that trust is let that nature do. So sometimes if he wants to, like the word that Alicia used, he still like wants to continue with the meditation or whatever, you just let it go in. It's like sometimes it make you feel like, I may use the word sleepy, huh? But don't get me wrong. It is not like you become sleepy, huh? Or lethargic mind. No, this one is that nature is actually telling you the condition is there. That is the time to go in and do that kind of awareness-based meditation. Go in deep. Then you just let it be.That's why I say don't resist. If that nature wants to go in, go in. That's why sometimes I know, even while I'm traveling or whatever, I know I have to go in and meditate every day. Because the sign is there, yeah, when in. Then it's like, during the early days, like initial experience, it went in and it went in very deep. Then that nature becomes so stupid.Then like that whole duration, no thoughts about their mind, that nature is so immense, so different. That's why not until somebody can do it, I cannot share all this. Then when you want to come out of it also, it need a condition. That's why you say when he hear the bell ring after that session, then he came out. And even come out also like hardly...Three mile, yeah, they're still inside that nature, that awareness nature with the stability inside that. Then it took her quite a while before she can really come out to normal awareness. Yeah. But when inside there, completely no thought, one, completely no thought. But it's a free mind that went in. It's not through samatha or energy field or kundalini, no.This is the real awareness-based meditation, and it can be done. But it can only be done by those who have detected the gateway and know how to relax, maintain awareness, and develop the movement from inside, the trust and all things. Then when it happens, the cultivation will become very different. Then when you listen from there, all your silence,awareness, observation, all from there, from the heart. Then after you go through that, you realize meditation is very easy. Like you can go into that state even when she go back at home, no longer at my house. It can still happen because it has become like very easy to go in because you have developed the understanding and the stability of it that it can go in. Then.But then, don't cling on to all this. Because this one also, like, it come and it go. It's certain period of training or what they call phases of progress. You will experience it. Then after that, it move. It continue. on its own evolution. It will evolve further and it will develop further understanding. That's why all this, like I always share with you all earlier on, specifically the song, is part of the way. Don't go and cling onto it and attach onto it or hold onto it and every time want it to be repeated. No. It's part of the way. Whatever arises is part of the way. You can develop the understanding and make use of it to develop the wisdom and the understanding. Then that is the Dhamma. The experience itself is not so critical or important. But those who have the condition to develop it and go through it will have the experience. They will understand what that thing is. Yeah. But those who listen and look for it. Okay, so we rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Huh? So this is very good, Alicia. Keep it up. Then continue with your development of all this understanding. And it will continue to like evolve and become different and different. So it is very beautiful. That's why the wonderful Dhamma is, the Dhamma will be more and more wonderful as it progresses, as it transforms, as it evolves. It will allow you to manifest and understand a lot of things which is not within the conditioned world. This one is the awareness nature manifesting. Yeah. That's why this type of meditation, very few people can have the condition to go into it and develop it and realize it. So you have the condition, it's very beautiful. So sadhu again. Okay, hi Yusamoa.
But you through this experience, I真正的明白什么的是那个 stillness
啊，这个，你就会了解，对，以前 become very clear to me。
以前每个人讲哦，my mind very still， 我不知道，其实不知道那个是什么。
对对对。
So through 我的 maybe 我的 cultivation 是跟别人不一样一点的是。 我要从我的 insight 去
understand，去了解它，这样子。Because you don't go through, you can never understand what that thing is. Because the word that describe all those things are words. It's not that thing. That thing is beyond words, beyond concept. It's that nature manifesting. But those who went through, they can use their own word and describe it, and you will know. If they have done it, otherwise you cannot talk about it or describe it or speak about it. That's why the Buddha Dhamma is very, very wonderful in that sense. And it's so beautiful because when that nature manifests and arises, it is beyond thought, beyond mind. You can never have that type of understanding until that form and mind that went through the thing. Once it goes through that transformation or evolution, then the awareness nature manifests, then that nature has its own movement. Then you will understand, because from there you will develop clear understanding of what that thing is. Then whatever people who really have gone through or sometimes the sutta describe, you're like, this one is very familiar. You have realized it before. It is like very easy to understand. But what you have understood is way beyond the thinking mind. The normal people who use the thought to try to understand the sutta. But these sutta are meant for enlightened beings who have realized that nature and who have developed the transformation. Like even the three hallmarks of winning. You cannot use thought to try to like develop an understanding of what that thing is. You have to go through that training, that cultivation. Even the first hallmark, union, no thought. What is no thought? It's a free mind without thought. not the one with the energy field, the conditioned mind. That one is concentration, absorption, fix everything until no thought, but energy field inside that. So it's a conditioned mind. That one is different. Whereas the awareness based on is a free mind, completely free, but without thought. That is what union is all about. That is what the true mind, the true nature, the pure awareness can manifest. Yeah. The one in one-pointedness, absorption, energy field one, the conditioned state one, is still held on by a thought. Because the thought that say I have no thought is a thought itself that actually control the thinking. That is stop the thinking through one, through energy field, through one-pointedness. It means it keep on like the jhanic factor. Eh? You apply your thought there. Then you sustain your thought there. You keep on holding on to that thought until no more thought. Come on. Who says no thought? The one that says no thought is still a thought. That's why they are in that condition. They say, I also have no thought. Yes, in the fourth jhana, they have no thought. But it's a conditioned state. It's not a free mind. A free mind that doesn't have thought is a very different one. That's why she, in her own words, say, can be inside there without thought, without sankhara activity for so long. You try. Normal people can't even split second the thinking keep on coming up. Your thought is respond to memory and you think along. You cannot stop thinking. That is what the mundane mind that is heedless and so conditioned will do. Because that memory, that conditioning, that lack of wisdom and understanding will create the mental hindrance. And the mental hindrance is the one that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot be in that state to be aware for even split second. The thought keep on coming. Like activity is non-stop. It's impossible to stop the thinking. Yeah. But the moment you do this awareness-based meditation, you start to experience the moment, which is without thought. Initially for a while, maybe for one or two moments, thought moments, then it ceases. Then after that, you become curious. What is that? God. You cannot become curious. You cannot want to know. The moment you become curious or want to know, it's gone. That's why I let things be silent, relax, and then and when. Whatever happened, assume you are dead. Dead means what? Cannot know, cannot respond. Just witness. The silent inner awareness. Just witness. Whatever arises, let it arise. Even itchiness or whatever. Don't do anything. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Until that whole thing ceases. It will cease. It will cease. It will fade away. Initially, you have to do it until you become stable, clear, the awareness nature. Then continue to stabilize it. Then use it to locate the gateway later on. After you have developed the stability of it, then you move from your whatever meditation object. Most people start with anapanasati because the breathing is easiest. It's always with us and it's quite prominent. And the breath links to our heart. That's why from the breath, the awareness, it finally will drop to the heart. And when it's at the heart, the subtle breathing, like hardly any breathing, you can stay there. And when you stay there, you can detect a lot of things. We already have the mindfulness, the awareness, the stability of the awareness nature. Then it becomes sensitive. It can detect the heartbeat, whatever vibration, anywhere, or wherever you locate it, it becomes very sensitive. It can detect the activity inside, even your brain, everywhere. It's the same. That's why you relax, maintain awareness, and let it detect and move by itself. Then the gateway, only the silent mind without thought can detect it. That's why you must be very patient until one day suddenly it happens. Without you knowing, it will happen. Like what last time Po Ching described, and even a few in video in this kind, then it happened, then that thing just happened. And then it's like something going, very soothing. Then later on, you will come to know all your external yin yang energy, they will melt inside, then become pure energy. So all this, the cultivator will go through and realize. And some describe it differently, like a tunnel open up, whatever the description, the word is not important. But what is important is the movement inside, the transformation, that thing that actually happened. Where ours is a physical body with all the vibration, nature's, what they call life force, pounding the heart and all those things. And this one trigger off the heartbeat. We sense the power of life to actually activate all of the arteries, nadis, and all those things. And all these are nerve center that can only be enhanced by the awareness nature. The awareness nature is like our life force from nature. They come and pump the heart and nourish our organ, everything. So at night when you sleep without thought, you can do that. Then no resistance. Your thought is resistant to awareness. When you think, you are lost in thought. You are not with the awareness. But when you are with the awareness, you are not thinking. That's why that one will activate all this, will cause all the healing, everything. It's just like at night when you sleep, when your thoughts are not active or you are in deep sleep, then that nature's energy, which is your life force energy, they will move and they will heal and recuperate all your organs. That's why it's like you have rested. Yeah. So all this is because the awareness inside is helping you to heal. That's why you, let's say, fall sick or whatever, you know what the doctor give you or not? Antibiotic. You know why they give you antibiotic? To knock you off. So that you cannot think. So that you feel sleepy, you go to sleep. And when you sleep, you realize after that you recover. You become much better. Actually, the antibiotic work in two ways. Sometimes the antibiotic is actually through R&D, they develop the antibiotic, they got various type of name for all these antibiotic. Some is specific one, some is like multi-purpose one, you know, say. Then, apart from that, all antibiotic is to knock you off first. That's why your nature will assist in the healing. Yeah, in the healing. Then, of course, the antibiotic also has this, like, that desire type of R&D type of product, right? That the scientists also know, or the bio chemistry people who actually, the doctors that actually do all this research, they come up with all this. Then this one indirectly is targeted. They target your whatever sickness or disease, and then they'll go and do their healing, and then they are actually more destructive one. Because when you take antibiotic, good and bad bacteria or cell, they also kill one. Because they have to do it. That's why after you take all this antibiotic, you have to take what they call probiotic to actually recover your what they call intestine. The big intestine and the small intestine, all the good bacteria, you need to have them. Otherwise, your digestive system will fail you and a lot of problems. But the spiritual way through awareness is a natural healing. And that one is the best. That's what I remember during that time. Even now, Alicia, they all they can do. If you, let's say, drive or you are tired or whatnot, you just rest 5-10 minutes initially. Wow, like very good rest already. Then you become fresh. You can go about doing your things. But I realize later on, as age catches up, as you have developed this already, become stable, then you need more and more time to recover, to heal, and all this thing. So sometimes it, from 10 minutes, you may extend to 20 minutes or 30 minutes. Then sometime later on, you need 1 hour to fully recover. Then during that time, your mind is very different. I remember when I feel my body need rest, then I will relax, maintain awareness, and I rest. Oh. Then when it rests, you can see that nature within awareness nature, do the healing, everything. Then after that, I just come out of it, like completely without thought, just aware inside there. Because whatever happened, my body is like dead. I let the awareness nature move. That's why it will know what to do. It will activate the part that is supposed to activate. Then when that thing happens, a lot of other things you will find that nature is capable of. One thing I can tell you is very obvious on this. It can release a lot of gas, which is the best byproduct. So that gas keep on coming out. A lot of gas on event when it heals you, all this, all the trap, what they call, I don't know whether it's toxin or what, I don't know how to describe it, but it will get released. It will get released. And then the funny thing is, this pure energy, when it triggers all this, don't have foul smell or no, don't have bad smell or no. It's not like the normal one. The normal one. But of course, if you eat the food and all those things, then you find that one got smell. Of course, that one will have, because that one is the what they call the gas that come out, go through your intestine, and that has all the feces and excretion and all those things at the tail end there, or within your intestinal system. Then that one will have the foul smell and all those things. But when you do the meditation, that byproduct, the gaseous one that come out, is no smell. No smell. Then it is very funny one. It's all over the body. Sometimes you don't know where they release it. But the awareness nature will detect one. You will know what to do. So don't be curious. Don't try to know. When the time comes, when you go through all this, you will understand what that thing is. Okay? Yeah? So sadhu to Alicia for having the good condition to let me explain in further detail what this thing is. So remember, take it as part and parcel of the normal progress. Based as you develop this training, it will redevelop the condition to manifest. Then it will show it to you. Then whatever happened is part of the way, part of the condition that's supposed to manifest. It will manifest. Then after that, you will continue to develop new understanding, new development of this transformation and evolution of the awareness-based meditative experiences. So all this will continue. That's why I say it's unending. It's unending. You can never say you can understand everything, cannot, because it's an unending process. It's like wisdom. Wisdom is unending because the era, the condition, all different. So it keep on arising, keep on evolving until you become very different. You have very extensive experience or exposure and understanding of all this conditioned world and the unconditioned. Then all this accumulate into our nature, our spiritual nature, our understanding, and our karmic nature. then all this will be retained, and we will inherit them when the former mind comes. That's why when beings continue to evolve, their karmic nature, their spiritual nature become different. And as you develop more and more understanding, more and more progress, then your karmic nature and spiritual nature become very, very different. That's why after that, every line the Bodhisattva come, the great being come, they are very different. They have a lot of understanding. And they have a lot of things behind them. That's why they are great beings. They manifest differently. That's why when they teach, when they share, their nature is everywhere. And they also have affinity with the, what they call the spiritual beings, the beings that have their nature. So all this, they will have their own causes and conditions, affinity, they will also manifest. That's why when we are at the retreat in Sombo Temple, that place, a lot of very, very special great beings' nature there. And the nature there very different. Even the heavenly beings, the non-humans there, they are very different. And a lot of them are really very helpful. Like the Dharma protectors and all those things, we taught and heavenly beings. They are actually there to help cultivator. That's why when we are there, it's different. The retreat there, if you really, with the understanding like now, a lot of karmita, this now when we go, it's going to be very different. I already told you all, when they open up, when we go, it will be very different. So maybe it's the condition. That's why the last 2 over years, we cannot have retreat there. And the MCO, the whatever pandemic, they actually hit us. And this is a once a lifetime thing. It's like very rare one, the pandemic. Like my elder brother, he is already 74, 6 years older than me. He told me, luckily he retired and sold off his business, wind down his business in 2019 before the pandemic. He said in his entire life, 70 whole years, he has never seen such a long project, prolonged type of pandemic. He said, whatever business you do, very likely you will be affected, severely affected, cash flow and all those things. Unless you are in the pharmaceutical, like Alicia and Freddie. Oh, this one, boom, they do very well. But if you are in the hotel industry, what they call like Mr. In the tourist type of industry, and even the normal restaurant initially, very badly affected. So my brother told me, he said, well, lucky, he's a good karma. He said, otherwise, really, can be wiped away. He saw in the other star there, a lot of shop closed, business or small town closed. Yeah. Cash flow problems. Yeah. And some of the business that were affected, but they had the cash flow, they actually pulled through, and they were actually quite grateful to the government. Because the government's compensation, the workers' compensation and all those things, you got how many staff, they pay you. And there were a lot of payment over the last 2 weeks. That one helped a lot. And I think the business sector, they appreciate. Then the money from EPF. But that one also have a lot of people. That one, EPF, they pay off that 3 payments. It's a lot of money. Each and every one of them, I think according to the finance minister, was almost 20 OB released from EPR. So three trenches of 70 OOB. And there's a lot of money into the system. And a lot of people benefited. The B40, the B50, and all those things. If your tax record is below one, they give you, even student, college student, uni student, they pay. So a lot of all this, when you have the Dhamma understanding, when you have the Dhamma with you, you can understand all this. And it's not easy to go through crisis and pandemic, especially economic crisis. Even last year, December time, the big flood, you remember, PJ Shah, it's not easy. A lot of people's car were affected, property, house, and like that. But Malaysian being generous, compassionate, many people help out. NGO help out, we also tour of the Amita Fund recover. And many people actually responded. So this is what nature is all about. This is what Dhamma is all about. You don't take care of karma, I tell you. Not easy to survive this crisis. And we were very lucky. Actually, among Kayamita, I realized hardly anybody affected. Of course, there are one or two, or a few, a handful of them, the clang side one, which we don't really know them that well. They were affected by the flood, but we offered some financial assistance. They were grateful. So all this, you will come to understand later on. Because it is actually not easy to survive. Even when I check with my niece, my nephew, they were not affected. But actually, a lot of people were affected. They were out of job for a while. Pay cut and all those things. And I had personally gone through a few economic crises, financial crises, the Asian financial crisis, that time when they attacked our ASEAN country, 97, 96, 97, I think the currency crisis, that time they really attacked Asia. Then there were also some, I think, recession that we went through, economic crisis and all things, or they call it the stock market collapse. Then the currency attack, and also many other incidents. So if you take care of karma, I realized I not only not affected, but I did better when the thing happened before. Very funny, very strange. A lot of things, I look back, cannot be so lucky. Sure, one of these things will affect, but none. So when you have this understanding, you will know what karma is. You have to take care of karma, no other choice. When you take care of karma, karma takes care of everything. Have that understanding. And I want to add on is today the sharing by Alicia is to give you all faith, to give all Kayamita faith, to let you know that if she can do it, everybody can do it. And this is a reality. To realize the awareness nature, the ability of the form and mind to go through that transformation and develop that realization is possible. Because she did it, like Po Cheng Liao, even in India, they did it, and it's possible. And many other Kayamita can also do it. So this is something that you all have to actually bear in mind and develop the faith. Even for Feather Song, he also did it earlier on. So all these are people who have progressed and on different stages of progress. Then, as we continue this journey, with the pandemic going to be over soon, I think, the opening up. Next year, hopefully, yeah, according to some Potembo, the Tangjia Bazan supposed that they will open up next year. So if they open up next year, maybe next year we can have another official retreat, the 9 days that we used to have in the month of end of March until early April, hopefully. So let us rejoice with all this good understanding and occasion. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. 还有什么?
可以啊，你来。啊，Bradio，嗯，其实很感恩呐，因为没有佛菩萨的盖，我觉得我们是做不到，所以我们要真的信，嗯，就是就Bradio讲的，把我们讲讲，就是臣服给佛菩萨，把我们这个。 所有的一切交给佛菩萨去盖我们，让我们走上这个佛陀的古道，让我们一起 progress。我很感恩 Bradio 和所有 Kalamita 的所谓的 sharing，让我明白很多，让我们可以互相学习。还有就是我也感恩所有。 出现在我生命中的人事物，因为他们都让我学习到很多很多东西。因为以前很 helpless 的我的时候，我的 mind 有没有一分钟停过，每天都在一直在打转，而且没有睡过一个好的觉。然后能够走到这里，我感觉到我这一人生真的是。 太幸福了，现在我实在是很幸福，因为每一天都full of joy， 因为这个 awareness 能够给我们，比方说你做任何一件事情哦，你都会非常非常的 efficient，很清楚，因为我最近在。 帮我的 office 在做打包东西，然后我们是要在很短时间去做那个 arrangement 哈，可是你放错一包哦，你的 awareness 都可以得到，所以这个我通过这一个，我觉得这个 journey 是非常非常的 beautiful，I mean it's not only like 你的 spiritual path， 而且你在日常生活里面也能够用到，而且真的是 dharma in daily life，Bradio教我们的是可以学以致用，就是学了，然后放在日常生活里面，每天的去观察我们的自己，然后刹那刹那的去看我们自己的心。 这样子 ，of course， 我有时也是会被的，像 Brady 问我太多东西的时候，我也是会被的。过了之后，我又再去 contemplate，怎样的发生，然后之后就去跟他讲 sorry 啊，还是什么之类的，然后就把我的自己又平复回，然后。 又在向前走，所以我发觉到我现在的情况是真正的踏上那个 cultivation 的道路，因为好像 Brad 又讲的，哇，太多东西要学，因为那个 wisdom 是 unending， 而且你每一天所面对的人事物是每一天都不一样，那你要怎么样的去每一天都很自在的去。 把这一些东西都处理好，那才是最重要的。我觉得佛法用在这里是非常非常重要的。所以感恩大家，感恩大家给我机会。阿弥陀佛。Let's
rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Also, I would like to add on to what Alicia said, which is very true. After you have the awareness, after you have developed the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, you not only spiritually deepen. You become like very different in the daily life too. like she experienced, you become like very efficient. I realized that time when I was working after 1989, I was so efficient now. I can see things so clearly, I can understand things so clearly, and I don't waste time on all those, what they call, petty non-issue, understand? And what people do, what people say, your mind is so different. Where it's transformed, you don't get involved in so many things that normal people who are healers, they become agitated, unhappy, reactive, and all that. All those things cease. That's why healthful living and healer living is a lot different. And you have this understanding. You are always peaceful, tranquil, still, aware, mindful. There is clarity. And you know how to solve problems, resolve issues in life, in career, in whatever you do. That's why after that I realized I had the power to help a lot of people. A lot of people. I can resolve their problem very fast, easily. No. And even those who came to me, and also some of my family members. Yeah? Earlier on was my sister, whose brother-in-law passed away, all this thing. I also have resolve. Then I got one younger brother who last time very notorious and naughty, you know, so I help my parents to resolve it. Then a lot of whatever problem that they had, since the early days when my father is still around, the first person my father trusts me, he will call me. He will call me, he will tell me and describe to me the problem. I say, okay, wait till I go home. Chinese New Year time, I will resolve them. Then we will identify who need help and all those things. Then together, we work as a family unit. We get it resolved. That's why our family unit, or we are very close. And we have understanding. And all of them are actually successful in their own way. Although not all are educated. There are some who didn't even pass pop trade, fail pop trade. I think my elder brother and the other elder, my sister. I think they all, these two, they failed pop trade. Then the other two pass pop trade but can never proceed beyond pop trade. They fail completely. Then I got two more brothers. One of them became an engineer, electrical engineer. He went overseas. The other one is Takole. That one also he did quite well. Then I got a sister who is a nurse, but he also developed until he got this scholarship to do a nursing degree in Australia, Flinders. Then he went on to take master. And he continued with his PhD. Mm-hmm. So they actually have their own success. Yeah? Then of course my dad, sister, he is not spiritually inclined. So because he's not spiritually inclined, the coming background also different. So there are certain issues relating to their children and all those things. He cannot handle, he cannot resolve. So she will text me, consult me, then like today I help her resolve it. It's involving one of the children, the youngest one. So these are things that are not easy to resolve. But when you have the Dhamma, you have the clarity, you can give them the advice. And she was full of gratitude. She replied to me, said, thank you so much. You know, she don't know how to handle. She even wrote down that I don't know what to do already. Because the younger daughter end up arguing with her and cannot accept her advice and all those things. So a lot of things. I say this is not the way to handle issue and family members. Maybe I read to you, then I just share that last part. Then you will know how she became grateful. Okay, is it above are my conversation with my younger daughter and my son-in-law? Hope they can listen to your advice. And you know what she said? She had tried, but she don't know what to do because she has given up, actually. Then I replied to her. I said, they are lying. Let them decide and make their own decision. And this is number one, most important. You can only advise them. Then I said, learn how to support them and not to put unnecessary pressure and stress on them. Please be a good and understanding mom and reflect on your own weakness or behavior that created all this unnecessary misunderstanding. Then I say, discuss with your other children, means the elders, the other two boys, he got four children. I say, and together with your youngest daughter, resolve it. Resolve it amicably. Well, this is to solve your family's whatever misunderstanding and problem amicably, give and take. Means you have to give and take. Well, it's a family unit. You cannot always want things your way. There is no such thing. So some have to give way to others. Then some have to take whatever that is fair to them. So give and take is very good, like a married couple. Sometimes you have disagreement. Sometimes you have to give it. Sometimes you have to let the other side understand. Then they give it. So give and take. Sometimes follow them, what they want, let them decide. Sometimes follow you, what you decide. But if you have an understanding that you can present it, then they will be able to understand it and accept whatever your good reason. That's how you resolve family issue, misunderstanding. Okay? So with this, I think we should end. It's already sadhu. Okay, so let us now share merits and transfer merits. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Etta Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabe Deva Anamodantu Sabha Sampati Siriya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontunya Teo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu. Sukita hontu nyatayo. Deo wasatu kalena. Sasa sampati heto cha. Fito bawa tu loko cha. Raja bawa tu damiko. Imina punyang kamina. Mame bala samagamo. Satang sama gamo hotu yawa nivana patia sadu sadu sadu.